My guest today is Ed Rollins. Ed is one of the most respected people in politics. In 1984, Ed was the national campaign director for the re-election of President Reagan. In 84, he won 49 states out of the 50. The only state he lost was Walter Mondale's home state of Minnesota. It was almost a complete wipeout, 49-1. Ed's a very competitive guy and was an amateur boxer. Started boxing when he was 13 years old, boxed for 10 years. His record was 164-2. Can you imagine that? It was like 49-1 in the 84 election. But Ed remembers only two of those fights, the two that he lost. Ed, you're probably, for me for sure, and a lot of other people, the expert on these campaigns, elections, and everything else. This one, I think back, and my memory's pretty good. We go clear back to the 80s, and so my memory's good. And this is the weirdest election.
By far. I've been around this business since the 60s and been doing campaigns in the Republican Party since 1972. There's never been one like this. Obviously, in 1976, you had Gerald Ford, who was challenged by Governor Reagan, that went down to the wire, and obviously was probably as close to this one. Without the chaos, without the hostility, Ford was the...
We didn't have somebody in like Donald Trump.
We didn't have anybody like Donald Trump, and you had two very legitimate people, one being the governor of California, one being the president of the United States, and it came down to 117 delegates was the difference. And they both went to the convention, they competed against each other across the country, both very close in the number of delegates they had, and they went to the convention, and basically Ford used every element he had as the president, including taking the chairman of the Republican Party of Mississippi and putting him next to the Queen at a state dinner. But it was a different kind of a race. It wasn't anywhere near the anger or the hostility that's in this one.
But we got through it.
We got through it.
And we'll get through this one, won't we?
We'll get through this. I mean, we're still a strong party. We still have 31 governors. We still have the legislatures across two-thirds of the country. We still have the Congress. The House certainly remains Republican for the foreseeable future. The Senate will be very close and very marginal. The presidential race is tough for us because the Democrats get pretty close to 270 electoral votes before they even start the premise, and we've got to win those eight swing states. We've got to win five or six of those swing states, and that's a real challenge.
Having said that, and you answered the question, but I want you to give me a little more depth on it.
Sure.
Is this going to fracture the party?
What I worry about fracturing the party is the future of the party is bringing new voters in. The game of politics is about addition, adding people, not just staying at a status quo.
This guy Trump,
well, he
showed up with a bunch of people.
Well, he showed up with a bunch of people, and there's no question there's people out there voting in the primaries that probably haven't voted in a while. But my worry long-term, you look at demographics, Hispanics, Asians are a fast-growing population, and the damage that you do by the rhetoric, maybe not deliberate, but nevertheless, it's at last, I think is not doing anything to bring those people in. Equally as important, women are a very significant problem that Republicans have had for a period of time. 53% of the voters are women. Obviously, a majority running against Hillary Clinton is going to enhance that on her side. The problem is Trump has made a lot of insulting remarks towards women, including attacking Cruz's wife and all the rest of it. So my sense today is he's got a ways to go to bring that back, and we have to make a big effort to make women voters listen to some of our... Now, married women vote pretty much like their husbands. Single women is where our problem is, and we have a very, very difficult time with single women right now.
It's going to be a tough deal, but it's going to be very interesting. I can't believe that I'm going to be looking at this as intently every evening for the next 6 months.
We will watch nothing else. Cable television, which has become a very dominant factor in all of this.
I wish it was football season.
I wish it was too. I wish there was some distraction. Now that college basketball is over, I have no distractions with this. But at the end of the day, there is a great interest in this race. Ironically, you're now down to two candidates, I think. I think Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz from Texas, who I'm sure you know well, and Donald Trump, who everybody now knows his name but don't know a whole lot about him, are really the two serious candidates. Governor Kasich, who's still in the race, the governor of Ohio, really I don't think is going to be able to be a factor long term.
Well, Kasich he's running for the ticket, isn't he?
Well, I think so. He keeps saying he doesn't want to be vice president. Very few people have ever turned that down. But I think the reality is the longer he stays in, the more difficult it is for Cruz to get a one-on-one. He's pulling some votes. He's not pulling any delegates. And I think at the end of the day, the only place he's won and is his home state.
Okay, let's backtrack to Reagan. 80 campaign, 84 campaign, and you were the chairman in 84, the NRCC.
Actually, I was Reagan's chairman. I became the NRCC at a later point. Reagan was a fabulous candidate. You had to remember in history, we kind of had four or five presidencies that had failed. We had Kennedy assassinated. We had Lyndon Johnson driven from office. We had Richard Nixon driven from office. We had Gerald Ford voted out of office. We had Jimmy Carter voted out of office. And people were beginning to think the presidency didn't work anymore. And Reagan came in. He restored confidence in the economy. He made some dramatic efforts. He rebuilt the military of the country. He got young people enthused about it and had a massive reelection campaign in 1984. All I had to do was basically not fall off the horse. It was like riding Secretariat. All you had to make sure is you got around the track. And so my job was pretty easy. He was a wonderful candidate to work with.
But then you ran the NRCC.
I did that. I had been in the White House with Reagan. I went back to the White House for the second term in 1989. Guy Vanderjack had been the chairman of the Congressional Committee, came to me and asked me if I could help them. I think the only thing that I did help them on is, having grown up in California politics, I knew a lot about reapportionment. And the reapportionment was going to take place in 1990. For decades, we had been outmaneuvered by the Democrats. And so I bought in a very strong team to look at the reapportionment project along with the RNC. And even though we didn't have a great election in 1990, we lost, I think, 8 or 9 seats. Obviously, in 92, we were ready to have a good election. President Bush had his challenge from Perot, didn't do as well. But by 94, the seats
were... Well, Perot actually cost us the election.
The truth of the matter is Bush lost enough Republicans to Clinton. If he had just got the 4 million votes who voted for Clinton, he'd have been fine. Unfortunately, George Bush, who I think was a very fine foreign policy president, sort of finished the Reagan agenda, just kind of lost his eye on the ball on economic issues and didn't realize what was occurring. And, you know, at the time that Perot got into the race, there was about a 60% disapproval rating for Bush. And he never quite understood the significance of the deficit or how people were starting to hurt in 1990. And Ross Perot was a guy who talked about the deficit. He was kind of a plain-spoken guy and obviously at one point in time had 19% of the ended up with 19% of the vote, but at one point in time he had 39% of the vote, was leading Bush and Clinton both, and I think to a certain extent distracted from the campaign that Bush might have run. I don't think he cost Bush the election. I think Bush himself was on a downward trend.
So Bush did it to himself.
It was the third term of Reagan. I used to always say he ran on Reagan's coattails. Reagan was for three things: strong national defense, cutting taxes, getting government off the backs of small business. Bush raised taxes, cut defense, and started re-regulating again, and he lost 29% of the Republican vote.
But I remember also he said this will be a kinder and gentler election. That was in 88.
He said that at the convention, and when he said that, I said, kinder and gentler than who? Ronald Reagan, the man who gave you your job as the vice president,
yeah,
one of the great presidents of all time. What do you mean by kinder, gentler? Those are the words of...
That was 88.
He said that in the convention, 1988. Kinder, gentler.
I could not believe that statement.
Well, there were a lot of us felt that way. I mean, and I think to a certain extent, it didn't work out for him. He made two pledges in that convention. One, he wasn't going to read my lips, I'm not going to raise taxes. When he basically broke that commitment, the base just moved away from him very rapidly. And obviously, he should have at least stuck with it through the term.
Well, we went forward pretty fast, backtracked a little
sure.
bit, brought up some things that I know that my viewers are going to... Listen, I'm having Ed Rollins on with me. It's a big deal.
Big deal for me to be with you, pal.
But thanks for joining me this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir. Good luck.
Oh,